Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the book of Leviticus, so Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, third book of the Bible. Find chapter 10. We'll be reading chapters 10 through 12, taking some devotional pauses, thinking through application, and then at the end, closing in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Even here in Leviticus, Lord, that sometimes is hard to understand. I pray that you will help me to understand your word this morning, to know more about you, and to honor you in my life as a result of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Leviticus 10, the title is The Death of Nadab and Abihu. Aaron's sons, now Aaron was the high priest, this is his priestly line, okay? His family, they become the priest. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out of the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Wow, that was quick. Moses then said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke of when he said, among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored. Aaron remained silent. Man, his sons just gone like that because they disobeyed God as priests. Verse 4, Moses summoned Mishael and Elzaphan, sons of Aaron's uncle Uziel, and said to them, come here, carry your cousins outside the camp, away from the front of the sanctuary. So they came and carried them, still in their tunics, outside the camp as Moses ordered. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons Eleazar and Ithamar, do not let your hair become unkempt. Do not tear your clothes, or you will die, and the Lord will be angry with the whole community. But your relatives, all the Israelites, may mourn for those the Lord has destroyed by fire. Do not leave the entrance to the tent of meeting, or you will die, because the Lord's anointing oil is on you. So they did as Moses said. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons are not to drink wine or other fermented drink whenever you go into the tent of meeting, or you will die. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, so that you can distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean, and so you can teach the Israelites all the decrees the Lord has given them through Moses. Moses said to Aaron and his remaining sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, take the grain offering left over from the food offerings, prepared without yeast, and present it to the Lord, and eat it before the altar, beside the altar, for it is most holy. Eat it in the sanctuary area, because it is your share and your son's share of the food offerings presented to the Lord, for so I have been commanded. But you and your sons and your daughters may eat the breast that was waved and the thigh that was presented. Eat them in a ceremonially clean place. They have been given to you and your children as your share of the Israelites' fellowship offerings. The thigh that was presented and the breast that was waved must be brought with the fat portions of the food offerings to be waved before the Lord as a wave offering. This will be the perpetual share for you and your children as the Lord has commanded. When Moses inquired about the goat of the sin offering and found that it had been burned up, he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's remaining sons, and asked, why didn't you eat the sin offering in the sanctuary area? It is most holy. It was given to you to take away the guilt of the community by making atonement for them before the Lord. Since its blood was not taken into the holy place, you should have eaten the goat in the sanctuary area as I commanded. Aaron replied to Moses, today they sacrifice their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, but such things as this have happened to me. Would the Lord have been pleased if I had eaten the sin offering today? When Moses heard this, he was satisfied. You know, so this is so foreign to us. And we're just wondering, I mean, you do certain things and you get killed. Other things, you just get reprimanded. What about all these details for the priests and the sacrifices? Well, again, remember here, in Leviticus, God is setting himself as holy and saying, this is exactly what I want you to do. And there are consequences for it. In fact, you could lose your life for it. And that was right for God to do that. It was also right for him when he showed grace and mercy and didn't take their life. But all these details just are to point their attention and our attention to the holiness of God. Clean and unclean food, chapter 11. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, say to the Israelites, of all the animals that live on the land, these are the ones you may eat. You may eat any animal that is divided hoof and that chews the cud. There are some that only chew the cud or have only a divided hoof, but you must not eat them. The camel, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It is ceremonially unclean for you. The hyrax, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It is unclean for you. The rabbit, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It is unclean for you. And the pig, though it is a divided hoof, does not chew the cud. It is unclean for you. You must not eat their meat or touch their carcasses. They are unclean for you. Of all the creatures living in the water of the seas and the streams, you may eat any that have fins and scales. But all creatures in the seas or streams that do not have fins or scales, whether among all the swarming things or among all the other living creatures in the water, you are to regard as unclean. And since you are to regard them as unclean, you must not eat their meat. You must regard their carcasses as unclean. Anything living in the water that does not have fins and scales is to be regarded as unclean by you. These are the birds that you are to regard as unclean and not eat because they are unclean. The eagle, the vulture, the black vulture, the red kite, and any kind of black kite, any kind of raven, the horned owl, the screech owl, the gull, any kind of hawk, the little owl, the cormorant, the great owl, the white owl, the desert owl, the osprey, the stork, any kind of heron, and hoopoe, and the bat. All flying insects that walk on all fours are to be regarded as unclean by you. There are, however, some flying insects that walk on all fours that you may eat. Those that have jointed legs for hopping on the ground, of these you may eat any kind of locust, katydid, cricket, or grasshopper. Yum. But all the other flying insects that have four legs you are to regard as unclean. You will make yourselves unclean by these. Whoever touches their carcasses will be unclean till evening. Whoever picks up one of their carcasses must wash their clothes, and they will be unclean till evening. Every animal that does not have a divided hoof or that does not chew the cud is unclean for you. Whoever touches the carcass of any of them will be unclean. Of all the animals that walk on all fours, those that walk on their paws are unclean for you. Whoever touches their carcasses will be unclean till evening. Anyone who picks up their carcasses must wash their clothes, and they will be unclean till evening. These animals are unclean for you. Of the animals that move along the ground, these are unclean for you. The weasel, the rat, any kind of lizard, the gecko, the monitor lizard, the wall lizard, the skink, and the chameleon. Of all those that move along the ground, these are unclean for you. Whoever touches them when they are dead will be unclean till evening. When one of them dies and falls on something, that article, whatever its use, will be unclean, whether it's made of wood, cloth, hide, or sackcloth. Put it in water, it will be unclean till evening, and then it will be clean. If one of them falls into a clay pot, everything in it will be unclean, and you must break the pot. Any food you are allowed to eat that come into contact with water from any such pot is unclean, and any liquid that is drunk from such a pot is unclean. Anything one of their carcasses falls on becomes unclean. An oven or cooking pot must be broken up. They are unclean, and you are to regard them as unclean. A spring, however, or cistern collecting water remains clean, but anyone who touches one of these carcasses is unclean. If a carcass falls on any seeds that are to be planted, they remain clean. But if water has been put on a seed and a carcass falls on it, it's unclean for you. If an animal that you are allowed to eat dies, anyone who touches its carcass will be unclean till evening. Anyone who eats some of the carcass must wash their clothes, and they will be unclean till evening. Anyone who picks up the carcass must wash their clothes, and they will be unclean till evening. Every creature that moves along the ground is to be regarded as unclean. It's not to be eaten. You are not to eat any creature that moves along the ground, whether it moves on its belly or walks on all fours or on many feet. It's unclean. Do not defile yourselves by any of these creatures. Do not make yourselves unclean by means of them or be made unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves along the ground. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore be holy, because I am holy. These are the regulations concerning animals, birds, every living thing that moves about in the water, and every creature that moves along the ground. You must distinguish between the unclean and the clean, between living creatures that may be eaten and those that may not be eaten. That's the end of chapter 11. And I tell you, you read through this, you just say, well, first of all, I don't know all the animals he's mentioning or what they may be called today. But wait, what's unclean? What's not clean? How in the world do you remember all this? Again, keep in mind, as he's made clear, he's the God who brought them out of Egypt. He's the God that gets to decide what this looks like. He's the holy God and wants them to be holy. And one of the things he's setting them up for is that they're going to continue to fail. Who can keep all of these little details? No one. They'll show themselves to be unholy. They'll show themselves to be sinners. They'll show themselves that they are not God. And they'll have to have continual sacrifices until Jesus comes. And that's what all of these passages are eventually looking toward. So that today, we don't have all these ceremonial laws, which is good, because I couldn't keep them. We still have the holiness of God. We still have the principles of God's holiness and his desire that we follow him. All right, chapter 12, purification after childbirth. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, a woman who becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she is unclean during her monthly period. On the eighth day, the boy is to be circumcised. Then the woman must wait 33 days to be purified from her bleeding. She must not touch anything sacred or go to the sanctuary until the days of her purification are over. If she gives birth to a daughter, for 2 weeks the woman will be unclean, as during her period. Then she must wait 66 days to be purified from her bleeding. When the days of her purification for son or daughter are over, she is to bring to the priest at the entrance to the tent of meeting a year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon for a dove for a sin offering. He shall offer them before the Lord to make atonement for her, and then she will be ceremonially clean from her flow of blood. These are the regulations for the woman who gives birth to a boy or a girl. But if she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for her, and she will be clean." That's the end of chapter 12. That's the end of our reading for today. It's hard to take a lot of practical things out of this, isn't it? And say, well, this is great. This is what I'm going to apply. Not a lot of stories here, a lot of regulations, ceremonial laws, things that don't really apply to us anymore as far as the specifics go. And yet we're told in the New Testament that everything in the Old Testament is for our instruction and spiritual growth. So what do we take from this? Well, I can tell you what I take from it. The holiness of God. A reminder that God is holy, and that didn't change into the New Testament. It didn't change when Jesus came. It's not changed today. God is still holy, completely set apart from us. And yet, he asks us to be holy. It's repeated in 1 Peter. It's repeated in the New Testament. And the way that we are holy and set apart is to become more like him. It may not apply anymore, these ceremonial laws, but the idea of being pure and holy in the ways that he has laid out, in the ways that do make us different, are what we are to pursue based on our love for God and our belief in Jesus. And that's what I want to focus on today. What about you? Father, thank you for your word. Lord, this is hard for me to fully understand, to know how to apply. But Lord, what you're bringing to my mind today is just your holiness. You are still holy. I am not, although in position I'm holy before you because of your son, Jesus. I thank you for that. And yet, Father, I am to be living each day in that holiness and to be dedicated to you. So I pray that you would help me to do that and to honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen.